Sunday, we were facing a funeral and a lot of extra for the Thanksgiving week. But God gave grace, and I want to say thank you to the Lord for everything that He did. And I remember I asked you to take time to try to check in with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I gave you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to give thanks in all circumstances, and that's what I asked you to continue. And this morning I want to take you back to 1 Thessalonians 4 because that's what he mentioned to me back earlier this morning. And he wants you to know that the people that you and I may misunderstand sometimes, because their walk with God is not the same as yours. You may look and listen to Maria and find that her walk is not the same as yours, but it's not supposed to be. You are an individual called by God to do a work for Him, according to His plan for your life, not your plan or someone else's plan. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says in verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, for all other Christians," that means the ones that call themselves Christians and are not like you, he says, "you have no need to have anyone write you, for you yourselves have been personally taught of God to love one another." In other words, once Jesus is within you, He is going to be teaching you to love even those that don't understand you or may think differently than you or even dramatically oppose you. You say, how can that be? Well, look at what happened to Peter. Peter is standing next to the Lord. He takes out his sword, cuts a man's ear off, and the Lord had already told him, hey, by the time the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. Peter did not know what was in him any more than some Christians have any knowledge of what's in them. But Jesus did not throw them away. He did not give up on them any more than you should give up on each other. So, as you are taught of God to love one another, it means you're going to learn. And sometimes you may have a few objects thrown at you, or maybe thrown a few things at yourself. But God's Holy Spirit is on the job teaching you. Verse 10 says, "And indeed you already are extending and displaying your love to all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we beseech you and earnestly exhort you, brethren, that you excel in this matter more and more." In other words, there's a growth pattern. And I'm using the Amplified because the Holy Spirit said the amplification was needed. The extra love, the extra step, the extra press to go forward and give out mercy and grace to someone who doesn't deserve it or may not even be aware that they have a need for it. How many know I used to think I was perfect in my own eyes? Well, get a clue. When I was a few years past my teenage years, I thought I had it all put together. Until God, Holy Spirit, did a few numbers on me. She said, "Do you have to wait to be a teenager?" No. God can manifest Himself at whatever age you are. But the bottom line is, I didn't think I needed anybody. But I learned later that I did. Verse 11, "To make it your ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peacefully, to mind your own affairs." Woo-hoo! "And to work with your hands as we charged you." In other words, there are some things in someone else's life or life pattern that may be different than what you approve of. or that you would think was acceptable to the body of Christ. Their background may be different than yours. Their teachings and their understanding of God may be different than yours. But that doesn't mean that God can't teach them. I should have heard an amen. How many have got a few stubborn relatives? Including me. Okay, Judy? That help? Yeah, I know. But you're taking advantage of. But understand that God will tell you sometimes, mind your own business. Okay? Let whoever go forward with God's instructions as the Holy Spirit reveals to them what they need to do. And I'll remind you, they're not going to be like you. Thank God, we have enough of one of you. We don't need two. And you better be happy that you got me.
Oh, I am every day of my life.
I'm teasing, but it's a truth. You're not supposed to be like each other. You're supposed to be like Him. That's the goal. To be like Christ. To be Him. Walking in the earth. His hands. His feet. Try it on for size. Lift your hands to Him. Say, God, you can use my hands. To heal. And set free. And to give out love. Instead of a few slaps now and then. Use my feet. To make me. A connection. With those that have a need to be loved. In the right moment. And teach me what to say. Because this mouth is yours. Use it for your glory. Use my ears. Use my eyes. Use my heart. To give out mercy and grace. Just like I received. So freely from you. Amen? Are you catching on? You will be taught to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we have charged you, so that you may bear yourselves becomingly, be correct and honorable, and command the respect of the outside world, being self-supporting, dependent on nobody, and having need of nothing. You say self-supporting? That's right. There are times that God may put you on a shelf for a while. He did it with me. But that doesn't mean that God is not going to be your supply. Be obedient to just keep your mouth shut to the best of your ability. Because maybe that other person is going through a bigger test than you realize. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
Okay? Verse 12. So that you may bear yourselves becomingly. Be correct and honorable and command the respect of the outside world. You say, well, why should I command the respect of the outside world? Because you belong to Him and you are His ambassador. You say, wait a minute, that's too much responsibility. No, be a lover. You'll be fine. Stop condemning. Stop throwing stones. Verse 13. Now also we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them as the rest do who have no hope beyond the grave. By the way, that section is underlined with a lot of different marks. The reason for that is because last Sunday morning we had a miracle for my wife. My wife would visit her. She was brought up on Main Street, Three Rivers. So those of you who know Main Street, that's where she was brought up. She had one of her girlfriends that lived right across the street from the local cemetery. My wife would not go and visit her girlfriend at night because of the cemetery. She was afraid to go in that direction. So she would obviously sometimes manipulate somebody else to come with her if she was going to see her friend because of the cemetery and the fear of the dead. Last Sunday morning at 5:15, our cousin went home to be with Jesus. And we had been there all week long, as many hours as we could. At 5:35, we were on the road going to the nursing home. When we got to the nursing home, her body was still quite warm. In fact, surprisingly so. We learned later that she was under quite a bit of temperature. There was a lot of heat in her body because of the tumor and what had happened to her body. And I stayed with my wife for quite a while. We prayed. We asked God for grace. We tried to close her eyes and we couldn't do it. And this was the outstanding feature of this young woman. From the time she was a little baby girl, her eyes were probably twice the size of a normal person. She was just very, very blue and very bright. Beautiful blue eyes. And that was the first thing I did, was to try to close her eyes, and they popped right back open. I tried it again. They would not close. They would just pop right back open. So then I found that after we had prayed, and Irene tried to close them twice also, and we couldn't get anywhere. So Irene says, "Well, it looks like you're still nosy and you want to see everything and know everything," which was her nature. And she says, "Kim," she says, "I know you got to go to do church this morning." She says, "I'm fine. I am not afraid. I am in total peace, total harmony. And I know that my cousin Pat is on her way. She's going to drive down." She says, "I want you to go." And I said, "Are you sure?" She says, "I have never felt more comfortable." I says, "This is quite a change." She says, "Yes, and I give Jesus all the glory." She stayed in the room by herself for approximately an hour and a half before her cousin got there. And they stayed and they waited for the people from the funeral home to pick up the body. She said, "Kim, I even prayed that God would not allow the people that were sick in that nursing home to see where her body was going to be going down the hallway." And she says, "God gave grace because everybody was in their room. There was no one in wheelchairs." And she says, "Even though they were delayed, nobody saw Ann's body leave Sunday morning." And she says, "I knew that was grace, even to the nurses." At the wake on Tuesday night, I want to say thank you for those of you who interceded for us, because there was a definite peace that surpassed the knowledge of flesh. The general manager of the nursing home came to visit and paid his respect. And one of the ladies of the hospice program had donated quite a bit of her time. Even the day before, had showed up 3 hours and stayed with Ann before we got there. She was there from very early in the morning until roughly 9 when we got there. She and her husband came, and she kept crying, and she says, "You have no idea what this young lady did for me." She says, "She's a year younger than me, but taught me about life." You say, "Even 2 or 3 days before you die, you can be teaching somebody?" Yes. So God was using all these things. The next morning, one of the nurses came, paid his respect. All I can tell you is your life, even after your body has been released from you and your spirit is free, you're not going to be left alone. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death. Try that one on. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm believing that even though as you have risen from the dead, you will also bring me through. Because I'm in you. And I refuse to be afraid of the unknown, even death. Amen. You see, nobody wants to talk about death because it's not a popular subject. But for those who have a relationship with Christ, death is not to be feared. Verse 15, for this we declare to you by the Lord's own words, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way precede into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep in him in death. That's why the Amplified's there. In him, meaning corporately connected to him. You are corporately connected to each other. You are corporately a part of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. And you have been designated at a special place in Christ. And in your old way of thinking, you might have thought you were all alone with him, but you're not. You're with me, and you're with everyone else in this room. And with everyone else in the body of Christ that may be different than you or wear a different label. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Catholics and Protestants and whatever. They call themselves Christians. They belong to the body of Christ. They may not think like you, act like you, or react like you, but they are still a part of the body. And I'll remind you that your hand cannot do the work of your foot. So stop criticizing the other parts that look different than you, or think differently than you, or love from a different angle. Please do not advertise yourself as a protester. Jesus did not protest anybody. He said, all who come. Amen? I remember one person telling me one time, I went to a Bible study, and oh my goodness, these were all people that were not of the Roman Catholic background, and that's where I was. And I felt like a fish out of water. I was, you know, swinging around trying to figure out, how do I fit in here? And as I listened to them complaining about this one, complaining about that one, complaining about this pastor, that one, this one, that one, that one, I said, oh my God, they're worse than me. And these were all protesters. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Protestants. Don't protest. It's not a good space to live in. Try being united as one body, doing different things, different ways, but all for the glory of the one who gave up his life to pay for all of us. And just because they don't have your relationship with Christ, yours is unique because you've been called to do something different. And it's okay to be who you are. You're not all going to be like Maria. You're not called to be like her. You're called to be like Jesus. Last but not least, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God. And those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. So those who are already asleep will come to life first. Then we, the still living, who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always through the eternity of eternities, we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort and encourage each one another with these words. You say, are we going to be raptured? It depends on what you understand that to be. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. You're going to be changed. If you are still alive in this flesh, and those who have preceded you by death come to life in Christ, you're going to be changed dramatically to be like Him. And that's the bottom line. It says you're going to meet Him in the air. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That's where you're going to be. In that cloud of witnesses, all together as one awesome experience in Christ. That maybe you say, oh well, you mean I'm going to have flesh again? Well, yes, but it'll be different. It'll be like His.
Amen.
You say, well, how different? Well, how would you like to be walking through walls without any hindrance? How would you like to be breaking breakfast for your friends and partake? You will. When He showed up and they were eating, He was hungry. And He ate. Don't look at death at the end. It's not the end of something. It's a transition. And I can tell you with all conviction, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you these words so that you're not afraid of death or afraid of a body that has been released into the ground, because it will rise again. And so will you, and so will I. Should that be God's plan? Because again, it's up to Him. Now would you close your eyes and put your hand on your heart? Say, Lord Jesus, I ask You now to confirm this word into my heart so that I will not fear death or be afraid of those who have gone before me, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And some who have preceded me into that other realm, I will definitely see again. Because they're in Christ. They're in the body. They're in the heavenly church. And I'm in the earthly church. Hallelujah. We're still one in the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.